Well, please turn in your Bibles back to Zephaniah and chapter 3. Zephaniah and chapter 3 on page 667. I'm going to look this evening at verses 14 to 17 of this third chapter. And these four verses are really a psalm. A psalm that appears in the middle of this prophecy. Amidst this prophecy of oracles of judgment and of doom, of restoration and salvation, there is here a psalm of praise. Let's read it together. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's a psalm about singing. And I think our singing tonight has been fantastic. I've been standing there and enjoying us all singing praise to the Lord. It's been good, hasn't it? But why do people sing? Why do we sing? Well, there are songs like the blues, mournful songs about sad events. Depression makes some people want to sing. And we sing funeral dirges, sad songs when people die. But most of all, I think we like to sing for joy. Think of a sports fans who naturally sing with joy. I've been in a few football stadiums in my time when Bristol City have scored a last-minute winner after being 2-0 down, come back to win 3-2. There's lots of singing going on then. Kids going on holiday. What do they sing? We're all going on a summer holiday in the back of the car. Who sung that while going on holiday? When something good happens, naturally we want to sing. It's a human response. It's the most common reason for singing, isn't it? Joy. But did you know that God sings? God sings. I think, correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, I think this is the only place in the Bible where we see or read of God singing. Verse 17, the very last phrase of this psalm. He will rejoice over you with singing. In fact, it says he will take great delight in you. He takes great delight in his people. It says he will quiet you with his love, as a parent would calm an anxious child who's fretful. So God will quiet his people with his love. How does God sing? Well, God's singing is with joy. He's rejoicing over his people. This isn't a song of mourning or a song of sorrow. This is a joyful song. But isn't it remarkable that this psalm of praise should come in this book of Zephaniah? This book, as we saw this morning, that tells us of the day of the Lord, that fearful and terrible day of judgment and horror. This morning we looked at this and we saw the day of the Lord has these two aspects. This aspect of judgment, but also has the aspect of blessing. Because the day of the Lord, you see, will be terrible. It will be horrifying. It will be disastrous for the unrighteous. Universal judgment is coming. But God will save a remnant to live with him. Those who seek God. Those who seek righteousness. Those who seek humility. You see, this prophecy of Zephaniah that plumbs the depths of horror and despair, well, now it soars to the very heights. It soars to the gates of heaven. God sings over his people. But I wonder, what do you think the sound of God would be like? The sound of God singing. Would it be like the sound of thunder? Or the singing of the nightingale? The cacophony of a hurricane? Or of the breeze in the trees? The mighty sound perhaps of crashing seas and roaring waterfalls? or of the trickling mountain stream? Well, whatever it will sound like, I know it's going to be awe-inspiring, like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, comforting, like a lullaby. I'm sure it'd be the most beautiful singing you've ever heard. And of course, this is poetry, isn't it? But I think this expresses and it conveys a truth that God will take great delight and be utterly joyful because of his people. God rejoices over his people. But who are his people? Who are the people in whom God rejoices? Well, we see in verse 14, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." The daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem, Israel, the Old Testament people of God who were chosen by him, the remnant of Israel that in this prophecy he's promised to save, those who will seek him. And we read of the daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. A prophecy which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? When he entered Jerusalem on that donkey. You see, the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem, is to rejoice at the coming of their king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the king of all his people. And when we see the word Zion used, particularly in the prophets, it's to reference the entire people of God, all those who are his, whether the Old Testament people of God, whether Jew or Gentile, those who claim Jesus as king. You are the daughter of Zion. And the New Testament makes it clear for us that Jerusalem is not merely an earthly city, but it's the everlasting, the holy city. It's the people and the place where God dwells. So in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says, "You have come," speaking to Christians, "to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." So as Zephaniah says that God sings over the faithful remnant of Israel, we can see that God sings over believers, over Christians, over you this evening, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he sings over you. This may be the only place where God sings, but it's not a small idea. This idea that God rejoices over his people appears throughout Scripture. Turn back with me to the Psalms, to Psalm 147. Psalm 147 on page 444 and verse 10. Talking of God the Lord, it says, "His pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." And Psalm 149 verse 4, "The Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honour and sing for joy on their beds." See, God sings. God sings. But when does God sing and why does he sing? Turn back to Zephaniah chapter 3 again for me. This psalm has a peculiarly Hebrew structure. And Spencer's explained this before. I'll just explain it again, that we tend to think of developing an argument, and we have point A and point B, and point C is the peak of our argument. Well, Hebrew poetry sometimes adopts a parallel structure, which has sort of idea A, and then B, and then C, and then it repeats B again, and then it repeats A again, or at least a parallel of. And this is called a chiasm. A chiasm. So, sorry to get technical for a moment, but this might help, unless you're listening on CD. So in this particular psalm, I've simplified it somewhat because it's actually quite a complex structure. But idea A, in verse 14, it says, sing, O Israel. In verse 17, it says, how the Lord sings over you. We have these two complementary parallel ideas, you see. But inside that, then, we have how, in verse 15, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. In verse 17, it says, he is mighty to save. These are parallel ideas. And then we have in verse 15, the Lord your King is with you. In verse 17, the Lord your God is with you. And the key to finding the meaning in chiasm is to find the middle. And the middle here comes in verse 15 and 16. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. So when does God sing? Well, God sings on that day. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. Because the day of judgment and of doom is also the day of salvation. And why does God sing? God sings because his people no longer have any fear. Do not fear. Your fear has been removed. What did the people of Zephaniah's day fear? Two things. They feared the nations that surrounded them. They feared the Philistines and the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Cush nation. And they feared Assyria. And they must surely have feared punishment from God. Those who thought about it, those who thought about God, they must have feared the punishment promised in chapter 1 that we looked at this morning. But now there is no need to fear. No harm can befall the people. Why is there no fear? Because the Lord, their God, is with them. The Lord, their God, he is their king. He is the perfect King of Israel. The king of a nation is the one who is meant to lead and to guard and to protect and guide the nation. And their king is God himself. Their king is the King of Kings. But to a sinful people, surely the presence of a holy God would be a cause to fear and to tremble. How can they be present with God in their sin and not fear that judgment and wrath? Because the Lord has taken away their punishment by removing their sin. Look with me at verse 9, which did briefly this morning. God says, then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Verse 13, the remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down. And no one will make them afraid. The Lord has taken away their punishment, so they need fear no punishment. They need not fear the judgment. And he has turned back your enemy. He has defeated the enemy. We saw in chapter 2 this morning how the prophecies against Philistia and Moab and Ammon and Cush and Assyria show that God's people will rejoice in their enemies being defeated. You see, he is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. So the point of this psalm is there is no more fear to God's people. No more fear. Because God is with his people. God has saved his people. God has destroyed their enemies. That's why God sings. But when does God sing? Well, that day is the day when the Lord will be with them as their God and as their King. That day is the day when the Lord will remove their punishment and destroy their enemies. Who is the King of Israel? The King of Israel is Jesus Christ. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And he came to die as a sacrifice, to take away the sin of all those who have faith and trust in him. He takes away, you see, our punishment. He removes our punishment from us. And he came to destroy our enemies. What is your biggest enemy? What's your enemy Is it not sin? Is it not death? Is it not hell itself? All the devil's works the Lord Jesus came to destroy. Again in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. The writer, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And in 1 John chapter 3, the reason the Son of God appeared, the reason he appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You see, that day is the day of the Lord, the day of Jesus Christ, when he came to be God with us. When he died to take away the punishment we deserved. When he came to destroy our enemies. But that day is still ongoing. We live in the last days, the now and the not yet, the day of the Lord. You see, Jesus is still working to complete his victory over our enemies. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. You might have to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Paul talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. You see, the cross means that the defeat of our enemies is certain. And Jesus Christ reigns to put all his enemies, all our enemies, under his feet. So as Zephaniah says that God sings because of the Lord's presence with the people he has saved, who no longer need to fear. So God sings over Christians, Christians who have Christ with them, because of Christ's salvation for us, taking away all our fear. So when does God sing? When Christ comes to save. God sings when Christ comes to save. But you see, it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord is with his people. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ is God with us. Only in Jesus Christ does God remove our punishment and defeat our enemies. In Jesus Christ, the Lord is mighty to save. So at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read at his baptism, don't we, of how when he was baptized, a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. I think at that moment, God sang with joy. When the Lord Jesus Christ died to bring salvation to his people, God sang. Whenever a sinner repents and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and finds in him salvation, God sings. And on that final day, when the redeemed of the Lord are brought together before the throne to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, God will rejoice over his people with singing. You see, God's salvation, whether past or present or future, causes God to sing with joy over his people, over his treasured possession. God sings when Christ comes to save. So repent and rejoice. Verse 14. Here's the command. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The people are called to sing, to shout, to be glad and to rejoice wholeheartedly not to sit quietly in their seats, looking smug and sort of gently satisfied. This is an exuberant outburst of utter joy, so full of joy that they cannot be silent. They're expected to shout aloud and to sing and to rejoice because of what God has done and because of who God is to them. You see, just as Zephaniah calls on the people of Israel to rejoice in that day when they will be saved, so he calls on us now to rejoice if we've been saved. Zephaniah called on the people to rejoice and sing because the Lord was with them, because of the Lord's presence, because of the Lord's salvation, because they had no fear. Well, Christians, should we not sing and rejoice and be glad in Christ's salvation that removes our fear? We need have no fear if we are in Jesus Christ. We need not fear the judgment of God on sin if we trust in Christ alone. He has taken away our punishment. I wonder, are you one of his people this evening? Does God sing over you? Because there's only one way to be one of God's people. In Christ alone. Seek him humbly. Seek righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, we have the story, the account of the Philippian jailer. Acts chapter 16, verse 29. Page 782. Remember the story? How Paul and Silas have been imprisoned because of preaching the gospel. And they're in prison, singing praise to God. And an earthquake. And all the doors are flung open. And the jailer fears the prisoners have escaped. And Paul cries out, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Verse 29, the jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. God sings when Christ comes to save. So repent and rejoice. Well, you don't have to wait until going back to work next week to obey the voice of the Lord tonight, because we can stand together and sing. We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves.